Blog Talk Radio.
Happy Friday, everybody. Welcome to the Michael Cutler Hour. I am your host, Michael Cutler. It is December the 2nd, 2016. The year is rapidly drawing to a close. We've just had Thanksgiving. I hope it was a great one for all of you and for your families, those close to you. Christmas, Hanukkah, rapidly on the horizon, then New Year, and then finally, thankfully, the new administration come January the 20th. Anyway, I thank you so much for joining me. It's always great to play the game of catch-up at the end of the week because there is certainly no shortage of issues on which we need to catch up. First of all, those of you who are familiar with my program know my background. I'm a retired senior special agent with the former Immigration and Naturalization Service, the INS. And it is because of my background that after 9/11, I decided to take my show on the road, so to speak, and provide my perspectives that are the result of my 30-year career having enforced and administered our immigration laws. Lots of mythology out there. We're going to talk about it this evening, in fact, and about how it hurts not only American citizens, but lawful immigrants. But first, I want to recommend that you go to a couple of websites. If, again, you've been listening as a regular listener, you know the routine. If you're new, I welcome you. But my own personal website, obviously my favorite, is michaelcutler.net, C-U-T-L-E-R, one word, michaelcutler.net. For many years, I've been affiliated with a terrific organization out in California, Californians for Population Stabilization, located in beautiful downtown Santa Barbara, California. Always great visiting there, especially in the wintertime. And their terrific website, capsweb.org. In fact, the focus of my program this evening will be an article that they just published that I wrote for them yesterday. Additionally, I write for Front Page magazine, do a lot of writing for Front Page. They are sponsored by the David Horowitz Freedom Center, also located in California. I also write for The Social Contract. I contribute to Progressives for Immigration Reform. Because immigration is such a central issue, although for so many years, the open borders anarchists and the people who have been exploiting immigration have tried to minimize its importance. Oh, it's only immigration. It's about the workers who are cleaning our toilets and caring for our children and mowing our lawns and doing the work that Americans are too stupid or too lazy to do. That was basically the message. And over time, more and more jobs went the way of the dodo bird. Either factories closed and went overseas, or increasingly more and more workers were being brought to America legally, illegally, didn't much matter. As a representative from one of the most anti-American organizations I can think of once said at a hearing, and the organization, as you sit there on the edge of your seat, is the United States Chamber of Commerce. I was at a hearing in Indiana a number of years ago trying to get some legislation passed at the behest of a terrific state senator by the name of Mike Delf. And this guy from the Chamber of Commerce, as we say in Brooklyn, had the chutzpah to stand up and say, we need unlimited numbers of immigrants, and we don't care if they're documented, undocumented, where they're from, how they get here. We don't care. Just send them here, more and more and more, and the more millions we bring in, the better we will do financially. And for the very wealthy, that has been true. Of course, when you're that wealthy, you don't have to sit in traffic congestion. You have helicopters and private airliners. When you're that wealthy, you have private, heavily armed security guards, and you live in a mansion with high walls. God forbid we should put a wall on our border. And they are making more money than ever before because they are exploiting cheap labor from third world countries. And I've made this point frequently, and I'll make it again, that one of the things that workers from third world countries bring to America are their expectations of third world wages and working conditions, which has now become the new norm for the United States. And the fantasies, the lies, all starting with Jimmy Carter, who said, oh, you can't say the word alien, God forbid, it might provide clarity to the conversation. Well, we've gotten to the point that we have sanctuary cities which fly in the face of common sense, fly in the face of our laws, fly in the face of the recommendations and findings of the 9/11 Commission. The latest craziness are college campuses that want to declare themselves sanctuaries. We will protect those poor immigrants. Well, and therein lies the problem, the poor immigrants. Because we're not talking about sanctuaries for lawful immigrants. They don't need the sanctuary protection. We're talking about sanctuary protection of aliens who enter the United States in violation of law. And the process by which they're supposed to be inspected, and believe me, that process is flawed. The first 4 years of my career with INS, I was an inspector at Kennedy Airport for the INS. You get about a minute to let somebody in or not let somebody in unless you send them off to secondary for a more detailed inspection. But you've also got a terror watch list. You're looking for criminals. Pardon me. So this is about a screening process. And in fact, and I've quoted this section of law before, but I think it's important to quote it again. Title 8, United States Code, Section 1182. Defines the categories of aliens who are not to be admitted into the United States. Now, if you listen to the open borders anarchists, you would think that this is all about people with different colored skin coming from certain countries, and that's not the case. Here are the categories who were supposed to be excluded. Aliens who have dangerous communicable diseases. Let's remember Ellis Island. We hear so much about it. Ellis Island was a quarantine station. Aliens who are severely mentally ill and are extremely violent, or sex offenders, or both. So there's a wonderful category. Aliens who are criminals, you know, arsonists, murderers, bank robbers, drug runners, gun runners, they're supposed to be kept out. Terrorists are supposed to be kept out. Spies are supposed to be kept out. Aliens who are war criminals are supposed to be kept out. Fugitives from justice are to be kept out. It's about keeping people out who want to kill us, basically. And then we have aliens who are likely to become a public charge. That is to say, they're going to go on welfare and seek all kinds of expensive benefits. Remember, we're not talking about citizens. We're talking about aliens who have no inherent right to enter the United States. And finally, we're supposed to keep out aliens who, if they worked, would displace Americans. That's it. Unless they're married to an American or they're otherwise closely connected by familial relationship, so then it's obvious they're going to take whatever job they could take so they can be part of the family. But that's why we have those laws, to protect innocent lives and the jobs of American workers. When someone runs the border, and approximately a half, maybe 60%, I love when they have these statistics. I know the Center for Immigration Studies did a release today about how the administration is lying about what percentage of illegals are caught, not caught. And if you even look at that system of looking at it, and CIS is right for looking at this, that's to say Center for Immigration Studies is right for being concerned. But they didn't look at the whole border. That wasn't possible. So you look at certain high traffic areas and they're cutting out paper dolls and coming up with statistics. And I don't care about the statistics at this point. The statistic I care about is that more than half of all working-age Americans aren't working. The statistic I care about is that it's been estimated that at least 7,000 innocent people lose their lives to aliens who have no inherent right to be here. No inherent right to be here. Let me get the words out clearly. So this is what the statistics are that we need to be focused on. The fact that we've never had more narcotics, heroin, cocaine, meth pouring across our borders. And it's not just the Mexican border, by the way. I know Donald Trump wants to build that wall, and I hope he does, and maybe it will help. But without meaningful interior enforcement, it's not going to solve the problem. And that's something we need to look at, and I plan to write more about it. What really needs to happen, not only on the federal level, but on the state and local level. very important. But in any event, you have college kids now who have been revved up by the professors, and they're very impressionable. And when that professor stands on the opposite side of that desk, there's a bully pulpit there. We're going to make our campus a sanctuary. Now, I wonder what would happen if instead of saying sanctuary, we're going to let terrorists and rapists wander around our campus without fear of being stopped. What do you think the kids would say on that campus then? We're going to let people wander freely and pay in-state tuition, even if we're not certain as to why they're here or what their true identity is. How would that fly? We're going to protect people from the cops when they might be the subject of criminal warrants for murder. Do you think these kids would be cheering and saying, yeah, bring it on. Get those rapists onto this campus. Get those murderers onto this campus. And when Donald Trump talked about getting the rapists out of America, unfortunately, it was linked to the Mexican border, so the presumption is rapists are only from Mexico. I can tell you in my 30 years, I arrested a guy in his 30s. He was a child molester. He had sodomized an 8-year-old boy years earlier in Boston. He was an interior decorator for the movie stars. And guess where he was from? Yes, that's right. Not Latin America. Nope. Not from Africa. He was a citizen of Great Britain. He looked a bit like Roger Moore, the actor, in fact. I arrested him. So understand what we're talking about. This isn't about, we're going to go after brown skin because they're the rapists. The law is nothing like that. If the law was like that, I would never and could never have enforced those laws. The laws are completely colorblind, ethnicity blind, okay, racially blind. This is about keeping out criminals. And I arrested this guy who had been arrested and charged with sodomizing an 8-year-old boy. And he was a white guy. You know, this nonsense that this is about the white supremacists. We're hearing that now from the sore losers over at the Clinton camp. Oh, the sore losers are out. Oh, this is about white supremacists, and that's who they got to vote for Donald Trump. Folks, it is disgusting beyond belief. They talk about how Trump needs to bring America together, but they want to have a recount on the vote. This has never happened before. It's never happened before. You have Hillary Clinton, who went out there on the campaign trail. I've wasted enough time talking about Hillary because you could do a lifetime talking about the garbage that she perpetrated on this country and on these people of ours. I'm for the children. So again, I'm going to make the point. Hillary wanted to legalize every single illegal alien in the United States. The number could possibly amount to 30 or 40 million. Look, Reagan gave us the first amnesty. This isn't left-right. Both sides of the aisle stink on this issue. Never hired more agents. It was supposed to be 1 million aliens. You wind up with between 3.5 and 4 million. Now we're being told 11 million, maybe 12 million. Meanwhile, in 2007, the Congressional Budget Office did a study on the cost of illegal aliens on America. And by the way, they dispelled the notion that, oh, because they pay taxes, it's good. The Congressional Budget Office, an official investigative research arm of the Congress, said that illegal aliens are a net loss to America, not a net gain. The taxes they pay do not offset the costs that they cost us, health care, education, and so forth. And the Congressional Budget Office in 2007 said that it costs 20 to 40% more to educate a child who can't speak English. And back then, in 2007, the Congressional Budget Office estimated there were 12 million illegal aliens in the United States. That was 9 years ago. Now we're being told there's 11 million. The numbers are going down, really, after all the surges along the border with Mexico, after the reports that at least 500,000 visitors who come on visas or the visa waiver program overstay or otherwise violate the terms of admission. It's lie after lie. It's like the 4-point-something% unemployment rate that now the Labor Department is boasting about. Of course, they're ignoring 95 million unemployed Americans of working age. I mean, the lunacy, the lies, the twisted statistics just keep on coming. America has never been more deceitful than it is now. The Obama administration was supposed to be the most transparent, and now apparently the Obama administration entered into a secret agreement with Australia, breaking news tonight, to let in refugees from the Middle East that Australia refused to accept. Refugees from Syria, from Iraq, from Iran. Iran. How many possible members of Hezbollah and God knows ISIS and who knows what else might be mixed into that stew of people that Iran is happy to ship our way? Pardon me. They're not our friends. Iran is our adversary. Their citizens are coming here as refugees, and Australia looked at it and said, no, we can't trust who these people are. So Obama jumps in and says, yeah, we'll take them. And it was over, I believe, 4,000 people. And it took just 19 terrorists on 9/11 to inflict more casualties on that day than did the entire Japanese fleet at Pearl Harbor on December 7th, 1941. So we're looking at all these crazy numbers, and we're listening to Hillary, oh, we're going to bring all these people in. And what she didn't tell you, and what no one's going to tell you, is that when you legalize millions of people, they will bring in all of their minor children. They will have the right to petition to bring in their spouses and their kids. So even if only one in three has children overseas, and let's say we're talking about 30 million, which I think is a very low estimate, 30 million people might be here illegally that would avail themselves of this opportunity, or perhaps they're not here yet, but once they get here would claim they were here for however long they're supposed to have been here to qualify. Third world families tend to have lots of kids. 7, 8, 9 kids. Not unusual. Not unheard of. So if the average illegal alien who petitions for kids only has 3 kids, and it's 1 in 3 aliens who petitions for kids, and this is all hypothetical numbers, I'm just giving you an idea, you could wind up, pardon me, 30 million underage children coming to America overnight and being enrolled in our schools. And yet, during the campaign, Hillary was out there, I'm with the kids, I want to help the children, the children, the children. What in the world does anybody with a half a brain out there think importing tens of millions of children who would be enrolled in our schools immediately, what would that do to American kids? What would that do to the American educational system, to our schools? How many desperate teachers, desperate to do a good job, and they're not paid well in most cases, but yet they scrape together enough money very often to buy school supplies for their children because their school districts don't have money? Now what happens if we admit millions of foreign students? And by the way, let's go back to what that Congressional Budget Office study said. It costs 20 to 40% more to educate kids who can't speak English. Think about it. This whole false narrative that has been created by the left wing of the Democratic Party, and we're hearing more and more that Donald Trump appealed to the white supremacists, you know, the basket of deplorables that we belong in, as Hillary described Americans who voted for Donald Trump, the basket of deplorables. You're deplorable for worrying that your children may wind up in school with gang members, that the school district in which your kids go to school might melt down because of economic hardship. That makes you deplorable. You're concerned that terrorists and criminals might be coming to America. You're concerned that drugs are flowing into this country at a record pace, and they are. So if you're concerned about that, you're deplorable. So now we get to the premise of my article for CAPSWeb.org, Californians for Population Stabilization. My article was The Betrayal of Lawful Immigrants by Open Borders Anarchists. And this goes back to Jimmy Carter. When Jimmy Carter mandated that no immigration agent, no immigration employee should refer to an alien illegally present in the United States as being an illegal alien. In fact, not even use the word alien. Think about that beauty. Let's expunge the word aliens from the conversation. Let's call them all immigrants. No matter how you get here, run the border, stow away on a ship, overstay your visa, come on a green card, and rape and kill five people. You're just an immigrant. Well, over time, more and more people, because of this misuse of the word immigrant and the disuse of the word alien, there is no longer a distinction in the public mindset about foreign nationals who live in the United States. So most Americans probably think that if you are an immigrant, you probably ran the border. It's not a fair assumption. We admit more than a million lawful immigrants every year. We admit tens of millions of non-immigrant, that is to say temporary visitors, every year. We naturalize hundreds of thousands of new citizens. But if someone is labeled immigrant, because we no longer use the term illegal alien to distinguish the lawful immigrant from the foreign national who violates our laws, Americans are now have become convinced that all immigrants are law violators. It's an unfortunate connection. I hear it all the time when I travel around the country. We've got to stop those immigrants from running the border. Those immigrants, which ones? You see? But the narrative that was created to make it palatable that people could run the border and then be treated like they were here legally undermines the legitimacy of lawful immigrants. And that, to me, is a crying shame. That is a tragedy. My mother was a lawful immigrant. Her family came here as lawful immigrants. My dad's family came here as lawful immigrants. My first wife died 31 years ago. Hard to believe, time goes so quickly. Her parents came here as refugees. They were in the Holocaust. They were legal immigrants. But today, many Americans believe that when they hear the word immigrant, they're hearing about someone who ran the border, somebody who violated our laws. So immediately, there's a sense of hostility. The notion about the Latino voter and this emphasis on the Mexican border and building the fence has people convinced that if you're an illegal alien, you probably came from Mexico. Nearly half of all illegal aliens didn't run the border, but came into the United States with visas, probably through international airports. The 9/11 terrorists and many other terrorists entered the United States by coming here with visas or under the visa waiver program or with passports that had been altered, but they came in through ports of entry. So this false narrative that was constructed to eliminate any kind of negative feelings people might have about illegal aliens, which is crazy because these folks have certainly trespassed on America, and there's a reason why they knew they couldn't come through the front door. Maybe they just didn't have enough money and they were coming to work. Well, that's a problem by itself because that drives down wages and displaces Americans. But maybe they're fugitives. Maybe they're terrorists. Maybe they're part of a drug cartel. We have no idea. And there's no record of their entry. But this was the goal of the Clinton administration. This was the goal of the Obama administration. To a lesser extent, this was the goal of the George W. Bush administration when they arrested those two Border Patrol agents, Ramos and Compeon, and many other Border Patrol agents came under extreme pressure from that administration. Let's take down the border. I can't forget George W. Bush standing shoulder to shoulder with Vicente Fox, calling the Minutemen vigilantes. The President of the United States, after 9/11, united with the country to our south that's responsible for the greatest number of illegal aliens crossing across that land border. But he sided with that president whose goal is to get as many of his people here so they could send as much money back to Mexico as possible. And George W. Bush stood shoulder to shoulder with Vicente Fox and criticized Americans who were scared to death drugs and terrorists and gangs were coming across the border and crossing their ranches, because many of those Minutemen have ranches on the border. So it's both political parties. But over time, the distinction between legal immigration and illegal immigration has been blurred. And what's the result? aliens who have waited in line, who followed the process, who want to become American citizens, are looked down upon by Americans who in the old days never would have looked down upon them. Penalty being paid by legal aliens, lawful immigrants, decent people who are following our laws, waited their turn patiently or impatiently in line, paid legal fees up the wazoo. And when people hear that they are immigrants, there's a presumption. Oh, another guy that jumped the border, another woman who came here illegally. That's not the case. And then the creation of sanctuary cities, well, guess where the criminals live? Within the same ethnic immigrant communities as do the people from their home country. Again, who is being placed at physical risk by criminal aliens who set up shop in sanctuary cities? Statistically, it's the lawful immigrants. And it's not just the Latinos. No, it's not. It's the Russian mob. It's Asian organized crime. It's the Italian mob. It's the Israeli mob. It's the Japanese Yakuza, which are their organized crime groups. It's the Jamaican drug posses, you see. Across the board, human nature is human nature. Irrespective of race, religion, ethnicity, country of origin, there are three types of people in the world: the good, the bad, and the ugly. That's what we're dealing with, human nature. So look at what happens to people who come here legally. They're all excited. They want to be here. And then their neighbor hears, oh, they're immigrants. Immigrants? Don't they have any respect for the law? You see? Because why? Because the open borders anarchists have convinced all too many Americans that there is no distinction between people who run the border and people who come other ways. Everyone hears the word immigrant today and their hair on the back of their neck stands up. Thanks to people like Jimmy Carter. Thanks to people like Hillary Clinton. Thanks to people like Barack Obama. And so they start to further exacerbate the problem when they equate immigration law enforcement with a white supremacist. I heard this nonsense today on Fox News earlier today. A former advisor to Hillary Clinton's campaign said that. Trump won because he united the white supremacist vote. And then they want Trump to unify America. Even after their resounding defeat, they're still using the language of bigotry and divisiveness, but they're putting the responsibility on Donald Trump's shoulders that he has to secure the country, and at the same time, he has to bring America together while they continue with their false narrative that his candidacy was based on racists. How in the world is he supposed to bring America together when the opposition party, instead of doing what has always happened before, where they acknowledge their defeat, okay, and go back in into a dark corner somewhere to lick their wounds and figure out why what they were pushing wasn't bought by the American consumer in the voting booth? Ford Motor Company did not go out of business when people wouldn't buy the Edsel. They stopped manufacturing the Edsel and made different cars because it was obvious the Americans weren't going to buy the Edsel, for those of you old enough to remember. For those of you not old enough, go look up Edsel, E-D-S-E-L. It was a disaster for the Ford Motor Company. But that's what Ford Motor Company did. They said, this thing didn't sell. It cost us a fortune. Let's figure out where we go from here. Generally, that's what political parties do. We ran a campaign. The people didn't vote for us. There's a problem with what we're pushing. Let's go back to the drawing board. You know, really, let's go back to the drawing board. That's what rational adults do. But that's not what Hillary did. That's not what the Democratic Party is doing. And full disclosure, I'm registered as a Democrat, but I'm finding it increasingly difficult to remain a Democrat when the likes of a Keith Ellison is now being proposed as the new leader of the Democratic Party, an adherent of Louis Farrakhan, a rabid anti-Semite and anti-white racist. To the Democratic Party, instead of saying we got it wrong, we got it wrong, continues the narrative about what kind of people actually voted against their candidate. Who are these people, these white supremacists who belong in this basket of deplorables? My rage is someplace in the stratosphere, ladies and gentlemen. I am infuriated beyond words. Instead of understanding that the American people have come to understand that when we allow more foreign workers into America than the number of new jobs we are creating, we're going to have a catastrophe. When you see the wages of American middle families dropping, you have a problem. And there was nothing that happened during the Obama administration to improve it, but rather he exacerbated the problem. So in the beginning, Obama said that this campaign is a referendum on my 8 years. He was right. Then Hillary lost. Now suddenly it wasn't his fault, it was Hillary's fault. It was the white supremacists, it was Fox News. They can't seem to look in the mirror and understand that they themselves are their own worst enemy because they became America's worst enemy. We've had terrorist attacks in America. Terrorist attacks committed by people who came into the United States and gamed the broken immigration system. Last week, I talked a little bit about it. I wrote a piece about how immigration lost the keys to the kingdom. Perhaps hundreds of thousands of green cards went missing. That green card is a valuable identity document. It's the keys to the kingdom. The system is melting down, and you have President Obama bringing in more refugees even after James Comey, the head of the FBI, said that they can't be vetted. Even after John Brennan, the head of the CIA, said that ISIS is embedding terrorists in refugee flows coming out of the Middle East. Now, today, Barack Obama apparently decided to go rogue once again and enter into a secret agreement with Australia about the admission of still more refugees. But the reason that the people didn't vote for Hillary or the Democratic agenda was because America is now comprised of racists and deplorable people. Deplorable people because we don't want to commit suicide? Deplorable people because we're sick of Americans losing their homes to foreclosure, losing their jobs to foreign competitors who shouldn't be here. And Donald Trump stands up and says, I'm going to make Americans successful. You know, it's funny. At the very beginning of the campaign, and I had a real big issue with Ted Cruz, because Ted Cruz kept on talking, as all Republicans do, about American exceptionalism, but then he turned around and wanted a massive increase in the number of H-1B visas. And I had suggested to some of my friends down in South Carolina and elsewhere, I said, you know, maybe when people like Ted Cruz talk about bringing in the best and brightest from around the world, well, first of all, if you believe in American exceptionalism, the world's best and brightest are called Americans. And I don't care about your race, religion, or ethnicity. We're Americans. This divisive politics of identity are toxic and wrong. And we saw that during the election. And I predicted the pollsters were wrong, and I got it right. I talked about how we were being shafted by the polls, and we've been. But I said, you know, when these politicians stand up there and they say, we're going to bring in the world's best and brightest, I said, everyone should get up and hold signs that say, Americans first. Now, I said this long before Donald Trump said what he's been saying. But I said, you should hold up a big sign that says Americans, not America first, not America first, Americans. Let's remember, as I wrote for a prior article, I believe it was for capsweb.org, that for America to do well, Americans must do well. So it's not about we're going to do this for America, because all too often, especially with this past administration, that meant corporate America, the same thing with George W. Bush. We need to do what's best for the American citizen. And that's exactly what Donald Trump has been saying. Now, you know, actions speak louder than words. I'm encouraged that Carrier decided to get rid of those 1,000 jobs or approximately 1,000 jobs. That's great. That's a good start. But Trump hasn't been sworn in yet. And if he goes in this direction, I'll tell you what, I stand 1,000% behind him because he's right. But if you listen to his speech yesterday, he said that the government serves the American people. Wow. That comes very close to something that I had said when I last testified before the Senate Judiciary Committee. Because I referenced how Doris Meisner, back when I was with the INS, and she was the commissioner of the Immigration Service, said that we needed to be customer-oriented. And I agreed with Doris about that. But where we disagreed was who the customer was, because to Doris Meisner, the customers were the illegal aliens. To Mike Cutler, the customers are the citizens of the United States of America. And how close did Donald Trump's statement come to what I said at that Senate hearing back in 2013? That he will take actions that are in the best interest of Americans. Americans, American citizens. So, you know, understand where we are. You still have sanctuary mayors running around loose. And I wrote about sanctuary cities a couple of weeks ago or a week ago. Sanctuary cities, insanity. Shielding, harboring, aiding, abetting aliens who snuck into the country, whose identities and backgrounds are unknown and unknowable. What could possibly go wrong? As an immigration agent, I spent half my career with the Drug Task Force. I've arrested terrorists. I've arrested child molesters, murderers, rapists, drug dealers, gun runners. Sometimes I felt like a human garbage collector. And they weren't of one race or one religion or one ethnicity, and they didn't come from one country or one continent. Because human nature is human nature. When you get beneath the skin, we all bleed red. And all cultures, all societies have the capacity for greatness, for depravity, for honesty, for dishonesty, you name it. It runs the gamut. It's part of being human, good, bad, and ugly. And when you listen to the rhetoric of the open borders anarchists, when you listen to the accusations, when you look at the way kids on college campuses are being treated by the faculty, you know, those universities are supposed to be the training grounds preparing these kids for adulthood. They're in training. I went to Border Patrol Academy to be prepared to be trained so that I could be a federal agent, an immigration agent. Police academies do that. The military academies do that. Our universities do that. Trade schools do that. You're being given the intellectual tools and the skills to be successful in a chosen profession. That's why you go to school. This isn't nursery school. You're not studying crayon 101 or basket weaving 102. This is about being prepared for life. And we are raising a nation of wusses who can't figure out how to mount an argument against someone who opposes what they believe. That's the reason debate is so essential. Had I not become a federal agent, I planned to become an instructor at a college campus and teach debate. My degree was in communications, arts, and sciences. Universities traditionally, were all about debate and discourse and thinking outside the box and reasoning your way through problems so that when you grow up and you're on your own in the real world, you know how to weigh the facts. You know how to make decisions based on facts. And you know how to defend yourself in an argument. Folks, college campuses are now providing little puppy dogs if you're upset about the outcome of the election. I am dying to see these kids graduate with an MBA and go to work for major corporations and look for a petting zoo on the third floor if they don't like what their boss said to them or their boss looked at them sideways. They'll be traumatized for life. And doing what? Suing their companies for mental distress, emotional distress. My boss didn't give me the warm fuzzies today. Never before have we had more kids come out of university more ill-prepared for the real world than we're seeing now with safe areas, which fly in the face of the First Amendment, by the way. Kids are advocating a position that will likely mean they won't get jobs when they graduate. Providing in-state tuition for illegal aliens, being an advocate for the importation of more foreign workers, means that there are more workers chasing the same number of jobs. The more people that chase the jobs, the less likely it is that you're going to get the job. This is a game of musical chairs. Except it's not that there's one chair missing. There's thousands of chairs missing. There's millions of chairs missing. Because as the game progresses, they keep opening the door and throwing more kids into the room, but nobody's bringing any more chairs with them. And you have kids on college campuses going nuts and screaming about Trump's desire to enforce immigration laws which are blind about race, religion, or ethnicity. If this isn't a wake-up call for their parents to make them question their own sanity in sending kids to schools that charge them an arm, a leg, three fingers, and an earlobe for tuition, preparing them for the real world out there, what in the world is the point of being in that supposed educational institution? Sounds more like a mental institution. Kids running around looking for a dog to pet because they've been traumatized. We've lost our minds. And so while I'm encouraged that Donald Trump will be sworn into office January 20th, and again, I'm waiting to see what happens, but my sense is that he's a man of his word. I certainly like some of the picks that he's come up with so far for his cabinet, very encouraging. A breath of fresh air. I mean, there's a breeze blowing through Washington right now. Hopefully it'll become a hurricane. But you still have sanctuary cities and sanctuary states. You still have police departments being hamstrung by the mayors and governors of the cities and states that are out there. Because, you know, Tip O'Neill, the former Speaker of the House, used to say that all politics is local, and he was right. But let me tell you, all law enforcement is local. On September 11, 2001, America was attacked. But on September 11, 2001, it was a complex of buildings in my hometown that were reduced to rubble, along with a couple of thousand innocent people. When I had a desk at ATF, their office was in the post office right across the street from the World Trade Center. The window next to my desk faced the World Trade Center. I went into those buildings almost every day because in the main floor and in the basement, they had a shopping mall. You could buy blue jeans and toiletries. It was, a Disney store, banks, restaurants, coffee shops. Plus, U.S. Customs and other agencies had office space in some of that, in part of that complex of buildings. So it was a rare week that I didn't go into those buildings at least a couple of times in that week. This was part of my world, part of many people's worlds. So on 9/11, while America was attacked, so was my hometown. So was Pennsylvania. So was Washington, D.C., the Pentagon. You know, it's local. And if you have mayors and governors and chiefs of police marching to the music being played by the mayors and the governors, and refusing to enforce immigration law. And by enforce immigration law, I don't mean going out there raiding kitchens looking for illegal aliens, but notifying immigration about a criminal they've arrested if the guy is suspected of being here illegally, honoring detainers that immigration agents lodge. This isn't rocket science. This isn't rocket science. Mayor of Philadelphia, his police department refused to honor a detainer of a Dominican alleged child rapist. Immigration lodged a detainer, and they just cut the guy loose. And afterwards, they had the brass to say, well, see, we didn't impede immigration. They went out and arrested him anyway. But if you read the article, you'll find it took a year to find him. So during that year, this child molester was out there free to attack children. Did he attack any children? We may never know. He might have attacked a child and the child was too afraid to come forward. Maybe he attacked many kids. Maybe he attacked nobody. But you know what's most disturbing? That the mayor of a city would rather have a child molester running loose in his town that enforce the immigration laws. Honor a detainer. Keep the people of this town safe. New York City, my goodness gracious. We are ground zero for the terrorists. The Trade Center was attacked twice. We had a car bomb set off at Times Square. Thankfully, it didn't kill anybody. There have been other terrorist attacks in New York City. And our Mayor de Blasio and Chuck Schumer frequently run to Washington. We need more money. Meanwhile, New York City provides identity documents to illegal aliens. New York City harbors criminals from other countries. I've spoken about it before. I'll tell you again. There was a police officer killed back in the late 80s by a Panamanian drug dealer I had physically deported, Ronaldo Rayside. Came back, and twice, because of Ed Koch, who was the mayor at the time, because of his policies, the police department couldn't notify us. And I thought Ed Koch was a good mayor. But it was a different world back then. And so police officer Robert Machete was killed on a street corner in Brooklyn when this guy, Ronaldo Rayside, for the third time, was encountered by members of the New York City Police Department. If immigration had been alerted to this guy's presence, because his unlawful reentry was a felony, he either would have been in jail or he would have been out of the country, not at large, so that he could have that confrontation with that young police officer whose wife was pregnant when he was killed. This is what we're talking about. And yet, if you watch the Hillary people out there now, her proxies, all that Trump is about is bigotry and racism and white supremacists, forgive me. I'm just so rattled by this. There's nothing about immigration law enforcement that has anything to do with race. Nothing. Zero. The laws are blind about race, religion, and ethnicity. It's about protecting innocent lives and the jobs of Americans. And even after being beat badly, the Democrats refuse to learn the lessons that the failure should teach them. You know, my dad taught me that there's no mistakes in life, only lessons if we learn from that which goes wrong. The Democrats were handed a strong lesson. Their goals are not the goals of most Americans. Their way of understanding the world is not the way that most Americans understand the world. But rather than say we got the message, we got the memo, the Democrats are out there pointing fingers at Trump, pointing fingers at his staff, and perhaps most worrisome, pointing fingers at fellow Americans and making some pretty terrible accusations. And this really has to stop. Because the Democratic Party is on the ropes. And we need a vibrant two-party system. We need to have a clarity so that the American people have a choice. And at the rate that the Democrats are going, they won't offer a choice to anybody who can fog a mirror and think clearly. This is crazy stuff. And we need to dispel the lies. And we need to support candidates who oppose sanctuary mayors. Sanctuary cities pose a threat to everybody's safety. If you're a terrorist or a criminal, more than likely, you're going to set up shop in a sanctuary city. The dirtbag who killed Kate Steinle, who had been previously deported on 5 occasions, said, when asked, that he specifically moved to San Francisco or lived in San Francisco because he knew that he would have nothing to fear from immigration in San Francisco. That was what drew him there. Sanctuary cities are magnets. And now, and I feel compelled to write about it, and I expect that I will, college campuses are now becoming magnets within the magnet, attracting young people who may not have other people's best interests at heart. Think at the terror attack we just saw in Ohio. And that's not to say that all illegal aliens are terrorists or murderers or fugitives. Not at all. Not at all. The problem is you can't tell a good guy from a bad guy without a scorecard. And to use the euphemistic term of the open borders anarchists, These folks are undocumented, which means they have no scorecard. The uncertainty that this creates with the safety and well-being of those kids on college campuses, where the residents of the sanctuary cities and where the citizens of the United States are concerned, that uncertainty is not acceptable. Not acceptable. And the solution is easy. Vote out of office any politician on any level who's not willing to protect the people who live within their jurisdiction by enforcing the immigration laws that were designed specifically for that purpose. In fact, that's what the 9/11 Commission found, that it was failures of immigration law enforcement that enabled the terrorists to enter the United States and embed themselves, that is to say, hide in plain sight. Again, not rocket science, folks. Final thought. Spend over $14 billion a year on Customs and Border Protection. They employ over 60,000 people, inspectors at ports of entry, border patrol agents between ports of entry, and support staff. What is the point to a legal immigration system if it doesn't matter how you come here? America is a land of immigrants. We should be proud that we attract people from other countries who are so impressed with our nation that they're willing to move here, uproot their families, and start all over again. We need to respect and honor that. But the only way to respect and honor that is to draw a clear distinction between those who come here legally with those goals in mind and those foreign nationals who come here illegally for purposes only known to them, identities only known to them, and backgrounds only known to them. It would be unwise and dangerous at any time in history, but it's particularly dangerous in an era when terrorism poses a true threat, when drugs flow freely on street corners across America, and the money derived, the proceeds derived from drug trafficking, enriches gangs and enriches terrorist organizations, and we're also displacing Americans. That's crazy. If charity begins at home, then effective immigration law enforcement certainly would go great strides to making certain that Americans do get first shot at everything, including first shot at safety. Anyway, I want to thank all of you for being with me this evening. It's always great to join you at the end of the week so that we can play that game of catch-up. I hope that you'll be joining me again next week at this time. I see that we have a caller on the line. I'm just going to see if I can quickly find out who this is. No, I guess not. Okay. Anyway, I want to thank all of you for joining me, and I want to remind all of you that democracy is not a spectator sport. It's really critical to get involved. I attended a wonderful meeting yesterday in Pennsylvania with the Tea Party, and it's always great to get together with Americans, no matter where in the country they live. And you know something? When you sit down with fellow Americans, I don't care where they're from or anything other ways of distinguishing us, when you look at what unites us, you find that we're so much more alike than we're different. We need to focus on our similarities and our common desires for a bright future, a safe and secure country, and a wonderful world that we will provide for our children and for their children. And we can do that together, again, by making certain that democracy for us not be a spectator sport. I look forward to seeing you guys all next week at this same time, same place, right here on the Michael Cutler Hour. But please make sure to check out the websites, michaelcutler.net, capsweb.org, Front Page Magazine, and we'll see you next week. Good night, everybody.